Welcome to Living Faith Online with Pastor Connie McLean.
Well, Father, we just thank you and we praise you. And we thank you for just bringing us all together here this morning. And we know it's become a cliche, but we thank you truly for waking us up this morning. We thank you for that. We know that you've been good to us. Your mercies are new every single morning. Every day they are available to us. And we are grateful. We are thankful to you for that, God. And Father, I thank you for what you're going to do in the lives of your people today and those who will become your people today. I thank you, Father, for just moving upon the hearts and the minds of all those who are here. I pray, God, that you use me. You do what you want. You say what you want. Regardless of what I have down on paper, you have your way. It means nothing if you're not in it. And so I invite you today, as all who are sitting here invite you, to move in their lives today, God. We just thank you. Have your way with us, not just with me, but with all of us. And we just give you all the honor, God. We give you all the glory, and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. No, I'm the weeping prophet. Oh, my goodness. Hi, it's so good to see your faces. I didn't get a chance to hug everybody coming in. But, and Pastor Connie style, wah, wah, wah. to everybody, what an honor, what a blessing to be invited to speak for the 40th anniversary. Amen. And before I get started, I just want to say that my precious daughter is here today, and my grandson, Jason, and my childhood friend, surprised me. We've known each other since before we knew each other. No, I mean, before we can remember. So her oldest sister is here, her both older sisters. And, you know, so they used to take us along with them. And so that's why we don't really remember when we met each other. But we've been friends for probably 70 years. 70? What? Did I just say that? Did I say that? It's been a long, long time, but it's been a good time.
Hey, Vince.
Hey. So, anyway, before I do start doing the crying and stuff, but Pastor Connie, who would have thought, right? 40 years.
Yeah.
10 people in a house. In your house, in the basement in Ariel, New Jersey, right? Wasn't it Ariel? Yep. Converted that basement into a sanctuary. Yeah, we thought we were something. No, when we really thought we were something is when we moved into the house and wrote, put Living Faith Christian Center all in the front. And right, we were illegal. We thought we were cute taking pictures in front of it. Y'all probably saw it. Said it was the White House with blue letters, and we were taking pictures. And then Pastor Lamont, Pastor Connie got a letter that said, "This neighborhood is not zoned for a church. It was residential only." So we had to find another place. We went back to the school. So from the basement to the school, to our new church, then we got kicked out, and then back to the school, then Seventh-day Adventist, And then Voorhees. And then 202. And then 2323. And here we are. We were doing some moving. Yep, so to celebrate 40 years of ministry, this really is special. Amen. It's special. So, yep. And it's all because of his goodness and his mercy. Yeah. Been through a lot in these past 40 years of ministry. They haven't all been easy. But so far, now I've read this quote and I use it a lot now. So far, you've survived 100% of your worst days.
Amen.
That's not my quote. But God has been with you all of your 4,610 days, good and bad alike. So can we give God praise for that? Mm-hmm. And it's been a blessing to be a part of this ministry for almost 38 of those 40 years.
I'd be one of the 10.
I was one of the ones in the house. And it's a rich history and legacy, which both current and former members are a part of.
Amen.
Amen. All of us are a part of it. I see some people here who used to be a part of Living Faith Christian Center. We're all a part. With those who are still members. Hi, Pat. Those who are still members, we're part of that legacy.
Amen.
Amen. So I'd like to, and also it's been an honor to be raised by you and Pastor Lamont, and to serve with you, and to serve under you. So, you know, I've kind of been through the gamut, all of the above. But one thing I could say is I am a life that was changed. Amen. How many people can say that they're a life that was changed? Anybody here remember the red and white buttons that we wore? Yep, we wore is that I am a life that has changed. I mean, we literally wore these big red and white buttons around. I am a life that was changed. And it's true. LFCC, God changed my life first. LFCC changed my life. And it's important that we have a solid foundation. You know, and that's where I got my solid foundation. If you don't have a solid foundation, you're going to be shaky. You're not going to be able to last. So you need that solid foundation. And just real quickly, before I start my message, I was married. Y'all didn't know I was married, did you? Y'all thought I was a single all my life. But I was married, and I was living in Georgia, and I was separated. It was around 1981, 82. I had a four-year-old daughter, and I didn't expect to be in that situation at 30 years old. But I came back home to my daddy's house, me and my baby. And around that time, Pastor Connie and Pastor Lamont had just gotten saved themselves. And so, of course, you know, they were asking me to go to church or to, you know, they were ministering to me, they were preaching to me. And I remember that they were wearing, like, just a shirt and pants to church, and she had on a jean skirt. And I said, what kind of cult is this? Let me go check this out and see what got my sister and brother all caught up. And so what had happened was I went. And the next thing I knew it, I was... I had given my life to Christ, too. Amen. And that was 1982. Yep. 1982. Amen.
And again, my life has never been the same. After I got born again, I walked out to church that night. It actually wasn't a church, it was a fire hall. I walked out, went on the side of the fire hall, smoked a cigarette, and said, "What in the world did I just do? What did I do?" But I began to take it seriously and had people calling me and following me up. And here I am. Amen. So thank you, Jesus. Yep. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I know my clock is ticking and ticking, ticking. So I want to start with my message. It's called All Hands on Deck. You know, when I did it, I said, is my grandson going to know what all hands on deck is? Do you know what all hands on deck is? Right, I know. I said, we have to get more current. But this is what I got. All hands on deck. Can everybody say that?
All hands on deck.
Yep, and the subtitle is Called to Action. All hands on deck is a situation in which every available person is needed or called to assist. It's like a rally cry, and it's usually in an emergency requiring immediate action. And it started on a boat, and when things were going wrong, the captain would say, right, so they needed everybody. So today's message is all hands on deck, because I want to urge you and to challenge you to use your God-given gifts in this, to assist in this next phase of Living Faith Christian Center. And not just Living Faith Christian Center, all of us need to be on deck. All of us are needed to assist to help grow and build the body of Christ. Amen? Amen? Amen. And so it's not just the job of the pastor or the ministers to grow the church. It's the responsibility of all of us to grow the church. So going forward, you're going to what?
All
hands on deck. You're going to make yourself available. And it's not, this message is not teaching on gifts, but it's teaching what to do with your gifts or the importance of your gifts. Amen? So with that said, Ephesians 4, and video, if you can bring that, please. Okay. And y'all can read it with me. And this is the five ministry gifts that you may be more familiar with. Let's read. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Amen. Amen. So all of us have a gift. All of us are important, and all of us should be using our gifts to mature the body of Christ. You know, I was reminded of a message I did in 2011 called What Do You Have? Was anybody here for that? That was a long time. Yeah. And it was based on the miracle of God, Jesus feeding the 5,000. And if you're familiar with the story, he was ministering to a multitude of people. Now, the 5,000 were just the men. They didn't even count the women and the children in this number. And so they were sitting around, and it was getting late, and the disciples came to him, and they said, look, we have to send these people home. It's getting late, and they need to go to the market and get some food. And Jesus said, will you give them something to eat? And they said, well, we don't have anything to eat. We don't have anything to give them. And Jesus said, what do you have? Like, what do you have? And so then they had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I always get that mixed up. I think it's 5 loaves, 2 fishes. And they brought them to Jesus. He blessed it. He broke it. And those 5 loaves, 2 fishes fed all of those people, the 5,000 plus. Now, the disciples, they didn't want to be bothered. They were like, look, we don't have food. We're not walking all the way to town to get food for these people. They just didn't want to be bothered. And that's how we can be sometimes. Like, I don't want to be bothered. People can fix themselves. Right. Let somebody else fix them. Right. But I don't have time to do that. I don't have time to mature people. I'm too busy working on myself. But you know what? But it's true, because when we get so involved with just working with ourselves, it is cumbersome to think about working with somebody else. Like, I can't do this. I don't have the strength to do this, because it makes you very selfish. And it's like self-preservation. Like, you're only going to think about yourself. You can't think about other people. And that's the problem. It's the problem in the world, but it's a problem in the church too. I mean, you don't feel like it really is a sacrifice to help people. You don't feel like helping them all the time. I have a girlfriend, and she always tells me, now you always don't think about that. Hey, but Valencia, you know Valencia, she always says, you can say my name, Marquis. I don't care, because it changed my life. But I discipled her, and I was like, God, like, why? Like, do I have to? Because she would just keep doing things over and over and over again. And I'm like, this is too much. But love makes you keep doing it. Love causes you to want to help somebody, whether you feel like it or not. God didn't say, if you feel like it. He just said that we need to do it. So my question to you, and God's question to you, is, what do you have? What do you have? What gift do you have that you're holding on to, that you need to be using for other people?
See a buttonhole. Here it is. I'm sorry, Mar. We're going to cover up your nice necklace. So that way it's in the middle. Let's see if that works better.
Only your sister can do that, right? Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'll start from the beginning. Just kidding. But if y'all, Pastor said, you want to hear every word. Oh, yes, it sounds better to me even. Thank you, Jesus. I said, thank you. By the way, can I tell you real quick that service that I was preaching in 2011, when it was, what do you have? People that night, people came up to the altar and just kept giving money, I would pick the money up and give it to someone who was in need. You remember? Give it to somebody in need. People kept coming up. I mean, it was some were just dollars, but it didn't matter. Whatever they had, they gave it. I would pick it up, and I mean, actually pick it up like that, you know, and say, "Who's in need? Who's in need?" And we would just give it to Pastor. I don't think you were here. I think you were away or something. And then we would just, yeah, it was a Wednesday night, and we kept on, and this went on for a very long time, because as long as there was a need, people kept giving. People kept giving. That, to me, that was like a miracle. That was a blessing. Can you imagine if we take our gifts and just give them out like that? How it could change the body of Christ. Not just the body of Christ, how it could change the world. It can change people. Change people's lives. 1 Peter 4:10, in the English Standard Version, it says, "As each have received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace." The devil is quite happy if the believers don't grow up, you know. He doesn't care if you go to church, long as you don't grow in church, long as you don't grow the church. He doesn't care. He doesn't want us to mature. When we mature, like the scripture says, we can be tricked. I'm telling you, there are so many lies out here. You do not know what's the truth. You know, when I'm going through things, maybe on Facebook, and I see people's pictures, and I say, I don't even know if this is really this person or not. Because they can make everything look like it's real, but it's not. So even back then, there were things going on that were tricking people, that were messing people up and causing them to get tripped up in their stance with Christ, in the gospel. Paul even said, who has bewitched you? Like, who has tricked you? What is going on? So this is going on in the world today. The devil is just trying to mess us up. And even Jesus said that if it were possible, even the very elect would be tricked. So we are the body of Christ, are supposed to protect one another. When I am gifting you, when I am using my gifts, my God-given gifts to help you, I am protecting you because I'm helping you to grow so you won't be tricked by the enemy. And all of us have a gift that we help one another. Say, I have a gift.
I have a gift.
Say, all hands on deck. And it's been the plan from the beginning. The devil knew what he was doing with Eve when he approached her. He knew that it was going to mess everything up. So selfishness is not acceptable behavior. Selfishness is not an option. And humility is the nature of believers. It should be the nature of believers. So natural gifts. In the natural, we give gifts to people. When we receive gifts, they're for us, right? Like, I can do what I want with it. I can spend it, eat it, play it, put it on a shelf, do whatever I want. We shouldn't be telling people, even though I know people do, we shouldn't be telling people what to do with a gift that you give them. But God's gifts are different. He gives them to us to use for his glory and to use for other people. They're not ours. They don't belong to us. There's nothing we did to deserve it. There's nothing we did to earn it. He just gave it to us. Because when he gives us something, he's given us a part of himself to be reflected in the earth. If he gives you the gift of mercy, it's because he's merciful. And he wants us to show himself to other people with any of the gifts. That's what they're for. They're not for us, contrary to popular belief. My grandfather, when he died, we went in his room and we were looking through his drawers, you know, to clean his drawers out. And when, to our surprise, there were brand new shirts, brand new handkerchiefs, brand new belts, brand new socks, brand new underwear, all in the packaging. Gifts that we had given him, that we had spent our money on and giving him, and he never even used them. But how many of us have gifts from God that are stuck in the drawer or stuck somewhere where we're not using them? You know, there was a man who Jesus gave a parable about a man getting ready to go on a trip, a long trip, and he gave his servants or his stewards talents, some five, some two, and one. And when he came back, the five made five more. The two made two more. The one made nothing. Why? Because he buried it. He buried it. God doesn't want the same thing he gave you. If he gave you one, he doesn't want one back. He's a God of multiplication. He gives it to us to invest in other people. He was wroth, it said, with that servant. The other ones he praised, but with that one, what? Because the guy said he was scared. He was scared because he knew that his master was a man who reaped where he hadn't sown. He was afraid, but he didn't know that he was going to get in trouble for hiding it. And so we really have to be careful because we're responsible for what God has given us. Let me move on. Romans 12:3-10. Let me say this too, is that we are not supposed to covet somebody else's gift. We're not supposed to be envious of someone else's gift. I remember when we first started out in ministry and, you know, I had some responsibilities and Minister Bernadine Flake and Pastor Gwen Jackson, you know, they preached and I preached too. But when I watched them, I said, Dang, I want to preach like that. Like, you know, Pastor Gwen, she just could just rattle off scripture. You know, and then just give all the scriptures in the whole Bible. And I said, I want to preach like that. I don't want to, like, preach, you know, like this. And then Minister Bernadine, the same thing. She was powerful. Powerful. But God doesn't want us to envy or covet anybody else's gift. He gives us gifts according to what he has given us faith for and according to what he wants us to have. So we don't need any more, nor should we despise our gifts. Nor should we think like my gift isn't good enough. You know, I people always say, you have the gift of mercy. I don't want a gift of mercy. It sounds so wimpy, but it's not. God is mercy. God is merciful. It's powerful. You know, many of you know that hugging, I believe that hugging is a gift. Now, you can't find that under gifts in the Bible, but you can find it probably under mercy, like it falls somewhere. I know it does something. I'm not talking about every hug I give. But just when I hug, I know God does something with that. He uses that. is not just me hugging. I send cards. I like to send cards. You know, is it okay if I should? So I'm not going to tell the whole story. But I would send Valerie cards on a regular basis, often. And she told me that every time she got one, it was always right on time, and the words were exactly what she needed. That's not me. Can you find giving cards in the Bible? No. But it's connected to something else, another gift. So do not despise our gifts. Don't disregard them. Don't belittle them and think that they're nothing. And you have something too. You have something too that you can't really identify it, but it's from God. And He can use it. Romans 12. Okay. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. So it is with Christ's body. Nope. By faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to who? Each other. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness, other translations is mercy, kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. 1 Corinthians 12. Now there are various varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom or the word of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge or the word of knowledge, according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits or discerning of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions each one individually as He wills. As who wills? As He wills. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. So Paul compares the body of Christ with our physical body, with the natural body. And the physical body has many parts. We have hands, feet, arms, eyes. But we're not meant to operate. It's not, the hand can't just operate by itself. The foot can't just operate by itself. And it's not meant to. We have to all work together. There should be no divisions in the body. Now let me, no divisions in the body. I have been diagnosed with an autoimmune disease or autoimmune condition. And to familiarize you with it a little, it is a condition where your immune system, which is supposed to protect your body, turns on it and becomes an enemy to your body. And it starts fighting your body. It doesn't recognize that this is a part of my body. And it's not of God. It causes chaos in the body. Because it's like, you know, do we kill this? Do we, you know, and it just, causes havoc in the body. The Lord told me this is what the body of Christ does. Amen. We don't recognize one another as our body. We don't recognize one another as the body of Christ. We collectively are the body of Christ. And there should be no division. We should not allow anything to rise up and come against it. Because you are my body. You are a part of me. You are a part of me, and I'm a part of you. I tell Jason sometimes, we'll sit, my grandson, and I talk like, I need you, and you need me. I have what you have, and you have what I have. I need you, and you need me. And you need the person that's sitting next to you. We all need one another because we are not meant to operate just as a foot or an eye or an arm. We are many parts, many members, but one body. So when the doctor, you know, you go to the doctor sometimes, especially the appendix and the adenoids, they'll say, oh, we'll just take it out. You don't need that. No, sir. I mean, you might have to take it out, but there's no such thing as you don't need it. God didn't put anything in our body that doesn't belong there. Excuse me. I mean, you can take it out if it's killing me or if it's hurting me, take it out. But there's no such thing. No such thing. Paul also said that some of the parts of the body are more visible and considered attractive, and some are uncomely, lacking beauty. But we are to treat all parts the same, and even give them special attention, he says, to the uncomely parts. We need all parts again. So speaking of uncomely parts, in 2 Kings 6, 1 to 7, Elisha and the sons of the prophet were in a certain place. And the sons of the prophet came to, and that's like a company of the prophets or students. And so they came to Elisha and they said, Elisha, this place that we're here with you is too small. And so Elisha, they said, let us go to the Jordan River and build ourselves a place there. That's big enough for them. And so Elisha said, you can go. And then they said, will you go with us? And Elisha said, yeah, I'll go. Sometimes, we're talking about uncomely parts, when our young people, I think we can make church too confining, or Christianity, let's say that, not church. We can make Christianity too confining. We can make it too small. and it can't accommodate everybody. We can make it too exclusive. But Elisha said, you go, you find yourself a place big enough. And so we have to, you know, we get mad at younger people when they go somewhere and find a bigger place, when they find somewhere that will accept them and use their gifts, and, you know, they're using them in the world and everything, and we get bent out of shape about it. And then we talk about them, like, look at them there, you know. And then, I mean, it's not just little people. I mean, I'm, you know, like a friend of mine said, look, she called them babies. She said, look, anything 40 and under is a baby to me. So, you know, so it doesn't matter how old. It could be immature in their Christian walk. But we can't get mad at them. But they asked, will you go with us? So they knew that they had a need for this mature man. And when they got there, they were chopping down trees, and an axe head of one of the sons went into the water. Well, an axe head, that's made out of iron, right? It's heavy. And it sunk down to the bottom of the river. And so they came to Elisha because they knew who to go to. They didn't go to another son. They went to Elisha. And he said, the axe head fell into the river. And Elisha said, where did it go? And then the young guy said, that wasn't even mine. I borrowed it. I need to get it back. And so Elisha said, well, where did it fall? And he showed him, and Elisha just took a stick and threw it into the river, and the axe head came up to the surface, and he told him, you get your axe head. What I'm saying is, we need each other. They couldn't go to somebody else. They knew that this man was mature. They knew this man had wisdom and had the anointing of God on him, and they needed him. We have to be careful who we're turning down, who we think is, just disregarding them. To me, we're one generation. We're the cross generation. We're the generation of Christ. Not some 20, not some 40, not some 50. It doesn't matter. Amen. There's a scripture that I look at, I say every day, is Psalm 71:18. And it says, even when I'm old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, until I declare your power to the next generation and your mighty acts to all who are to come. Like, I want my grandson to be able to say, wow, God did that. Look what God did. I want my daughter to be able to say it. I don't want to die and not be able to proclaim the power of God and his mighty acts to the next generation. In Israel, for the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever, who slayed the king, who opened the Red Sea. They had things to say. They passed that down. Generations knew that we're still talking about the Red Sea opening. But what are we going to talk about now, today, in 2025? Can I have a couple more minutes? Well, I got zeros on the thing. Amen. Right. So in the last verse in 1 Corinthians 12:31, you know, y'all know I got the dry mouth. Wait a minute. How y'all doing? I forgot that I brought Pastor Lamont's Bible with me. I'm not going to read it, though, but he's to carry it like this. Well, his was bigger, and it just flowed like water. I got it. Pastor Cutter gave it to me. The last verse in 1 Corinthians 12:31, it says, Paul said, I'll show you a more excellent way to use your gifts. I'll show you a more excellent way. That takes us to 1 Corinthians 13. I give you that as the Message Bible. I'll read. If I speak with human eloquence, and this is, the Message. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't have love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't have love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others. It always isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Love never dies. Gifts should operate by the love of God. They're perfect. So that means that the gifts can work without you operating in the love of God. But the more excellent way, the perfect way, is operating in our gifts in the love of God. Otherwise, they're good for nothing. And when it says that, you know, you can speak eloquently and speak with the tongues of angels, but you don't have love. Some other translation says it's like sounding brass or clashing cymbals. And I can't think about when I was raising my daughter as a Christian. And I'm sure that my voice was a creaky gate. It was like fingernails scratching on a board. It could sound like clanging cymbals. Because even though I was raising her thinking in the love of God, I was really just doing a behavior modification. I was really just teaching her how to act right, but not changing her heart. You know, I always get his name mixed up. He has three names. Philip Michael Mitchell. Are y'all familiar with him? And so I watched the interview. He was doing an interview. And he was talking about how I think he grew up in New York and he was in the streets like a thug. And he said his two parents were Christians. They went to church. And so he said, and they were asking him, well, how come you didn't turn out differently, or how come you were still in the streets? And he said, because there is a discipleship gap between parents and children. I wept. I cried because someone finally put words to what I was feeling. I knew that something wasn't right. I knew in look, hindsight is what, 2020? When you look back, you see everything. But while I was raising her, I wanted her to be a good girl. After all, she was the daughter of a leader, and she was the niece of Pastor Lamont and Pastor Connie. She had to be a good girl. Guess what? She is a good girl. She was a good girl. We want hearts to be changed. Parenting is discipleship. Parenting is leading our children in the love of God to love God. And when you love God, you want to please God. That's how we want to train our children. Not just to say the right thing. What they call it, Christianese? Like, you know what to say. You think people don't know what to say to make people think everything's okay? We've all done it. We all see it, like the commercial says. We want hearts to be changed. And I mean, it's just by the grace of God that she is who she is. And it was especially in her teenage years. I was her only parent in her life. And now we're best friends. So that's cool. Well, if you find yourself doing that, please start correcting it now. We make it difficult for our kids. You know, the Bible says, do not frustrate your children to wrath. Like, don't provoke them to do wrong things. We can provoke our kids to act. You know, I was rebellious with my father because the way he treated me. But I became rebellious. I felt then that he provoked me to be rebellious. As I became a Christian, God got with me. That was not my place. And like Jesus said, and then I'll end up here, Pastor. Like Jesus said, when he's talking to the Pharisees, he told them, He said, you tithe off the smallest herb, and you do all these things, and you do them as you should. But you forget about the weightier things, the things like mercy and justice and faith. So a lot of us are going around doing all the majoring on the minors. That's what I would say about with my daughter and raising her. I majored on the minors. Then everything became a major. Nothing was a minor. You couldn't fit mercy in there. We should have mercy with our children. They shouldn't just see us having mercy with somebody else. It needs to happen in the home. So Jesus said, you focus on the minor things, and I'm telling you, you need to do these things and not leave the minors undone. But we have to stop focusing on those minors and make important in our lives what's important to God. So I heard a man say that mercy is scandalous. It's scandalous. It makes people talk. Makes them go around and say, did you see what they did? Did you see that she hugged him after he did such and such? Did you see that she didn't even discipline her child after they did so and so? After they went to that party? It's scandalous. It makes people talk. Well, let's show the mercy of God and let's be scandalous. It made me think of a song. This is an old song, you know. Let's give them something to talk about. Let's give them something to talk about. Let's give them something to talk about. And I think the song even says, and it's about love, 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 whatever. But we need to give people something to talk about. Let's become scandalous. Let's not just condemn somebody as soon as they do something, but even though they know that they should be punished, even though they know they should be disciplined, they're going to come up to you and they're going to hug you instead. Because mercy is unexpected. Nobody expects mercy anymore, not in the world or in church. That's sad. And we may be expected in the world, but we shouldn't expect it amongst each other. Right. So let's have mercy. Let's show the love of God. And I have to end. And let's be like our Father. Let's be like our Father, the Father of all mercies. Let's take our gifts and use them for other people, to mature the body of Christ, to love people, to bring back. Mercy brings back dignity. It dignifies us. And each and every person in here has received the mercy of God, whether you know it or not. Because he's been merciful to us. As bad as your life may seem, he's been merciful to you. God sending his son was mercy, because we should have been dead. But we're not. Amen. If you would just bow your head. God's a merciful God. He sent his son because he loved the world so much that he didn't want us to die. He wanted everyone to be saved. And I'm not just talking about a natural death. I'm talking about everlasting life. He who has the Son has life. And he who does not have the Son does not have life. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. If you've never confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've never asked him to come into your heart, I'm going to give you the invitation today. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. We don't know if we're going to be here tomorrow. And it's not going to be on my head that I didn't offer Jesus Christ to you. So if that's you and you want to ask Jesus to come into your heart, and the thing is, you don't just receive Jesus. He also gives you the Holy Spirit, who helps us with everything, who gives us his strength, who tells us things. We don't have to do this alone. So if that's you, I'm going to ask that you raise your hand. If you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Or if you want to rededicate your life. Oh, there's a hand. Amen. Amen. I see your hand. Praise God. Is there anyone else before I call this person up? I see another hand. I see it. Amen. I see another. Glory to God. You know, the Bible says that the angels are rejoicing in heaven. They are rejoicing in heaven. Anyone else? Amen. If you would just come up, the three hands, the three people. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, we can do better than that. Happy birthday to you. Hey, come on up. You can stand in front of me. In front. Yep, you can. You can look at me. Hi. Hey, you can stand next to me. And oh, here comes the other. This is your spiritual birthday. Yep, even better than our natural birthday. But we have to have a natural one before we can have a spiritual one. Amen. Hey. Hello. Amen. I'm going to ask that you say a prayer. Repeat after me. I'm going to ask that the congregation will repeat the same prayer. And if you even find that after you've said this prayer, even though you're not up here, that you can make it your own and it's not too late. So you can either come up or you can go in the back when they go in the back. So you ready? You excited? You should be. You're my brother. You're my sister. And you're my brother. And all these are your brothers and sisters too. Say, dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you came from heaven to earth to save me. I believe that you hung on the cross and that you died in my place for my sins. I believe that you were buried and that God the Father raised you from the dead, and you live forevermore. And because you live, I live in you. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. I've received you into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. And I am free, free, free. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. And like I said, you don't just receive Jesus, but he also gives you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives us strength and leads us and guides us into all truth. Jesus told his disciples, I'm going to give you a comforter. I'm going to give somebody that's going to walk beside you. I'm going to give you somebody that's going to empower you. So be open to receive the Holy Spirit as well, okay? So we can live our lives to the fullest. Amen. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Amen. I'm sorry. I don't have to hug you.
It's all right. Okay.
All right. You're going to go back there with them if you would just follow them. They're not going to keep you long. And at this time, we are going to have Minister Kim Chavis. For tithes and offerings. God bless you. Amen.
Amen. I am a life that's been changed, and I'm a third generation life. Pastor Connie poured into Minister Marsha. Minister Marsha poured into me. So thank you, Minister Marsha, for helping me to be a life that's been changed. Amen. So, and Minister Marsha has always been a woman of mercy and grace and keeps me on the straight and narrow. And so I just want to share with you tithes and offering. And this is a scripture that a lot of times when people hear it, they think it's not a good scripture, but I'm sharing Malachi 3 with you because the goal is to help us as believers to understand the spiritual importance of tithes and offering and trusting God to do what he said he's going to do. So it's in our obedience and that we will get the promises and the provision God has for us. And that's God's love. Amen? So I'm going to share with you, starting in Malachi 3:7. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my laws and evaded them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says Yahweh, commander of the angel's army. But you ask, how do we need to return? And God is so gracious. God has given us an invitation, not just to be transactional. He's telling us to be relational. God is about relationships. And even in our rebellion, he desires to restore us back to where he originally designed for us in the garden. Amen? And so it's important for our obedience that we not just say it in word, Minister Marsha was sharing. We don't just be Christianese. We do what God's calling us to do. Amen? So we also have to understand that giving is an indication of our spiritual alignment with God. So as I continue to read on in Malachi 3:8-9, it says, is it right for people to rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how can we possibly rob you? You withhold your tithe and offering. You are under the curse. The whole lot of you are guilty of robbing me. And God considers when we don't tithe that we're robbing him. And I know that sounds like strong language, but remember what I said earlier. God wants to bless us. He wants to restore us back to the original purpose in the garden. And so that means we got to get back to the obedience. And so not only is it just us, but when we're not obedient, it says the whole nation is held accountable because disobedience has a communal impact. Amen. And so the curse, it reflects a natural consequence and a divine discipline. And so, again, we need to trust God and not fear God. So we have to ask ourselves, why are we withholding what God has told us to give? And so in Malachi 3:10, it says, bring the full amount of your tithe into the temple treasure so that there may be ample provision in my house. He says, test me and see if I, Yahweh, commander of angels' army, will fling open the floodgates of heaven for you and pour upon you an overflow blessing that you will not have room to contain. You see how much God loves us? He wants to pour out on us so that we don't have a room enough to contain, and then we can give out to others. And so the whole tithe is 10%. It's not partial. It's not left over. And the storehouse refers to the church. The church is a symbol of God's work being a resource. And so when we come into the house of God and we see the things of God, we're responsible for making sure the resources are here so that the church can do what it needs to do spiritually and physically. Amen? And so lastly, it says also there, it says to test me. And this is one of the few places in the Bible where God is telling man to test him, because we don't want to test God. Amen. But here he's telling us to test us. He invites us to be in faith and obedience and not to fear, but to trust him. God wants to pour out a blessing upon us, not just spiritually, but also materially as well. And so Malachi 3:11 says, God said, I will defeat the devourer so that it will not destroy the fruits of your fields and your vines will be full of grapes. See, if you ever harvest fruit, you don't want to harvest it too soon, because if you harvest it too soon, it won't be what it needs to be. So God said, I will defeat the devourer. And so as a result of that, he says, Yahweh says that then all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land in which God will take delight. How many people want to be a land that God takes delight? delight in. I know that I want to. He says, and so this is my promise unto you. So God wants to protect us, not only in our financial giving, but God wants to protect us in our purpose and our plan, in our gifting that Minister Marsha just talked about. And so in our obedience, when we do this, we're doing this unto God. Amen. Amen. So if you're ready to give your tithes and offering, video, show us ways in which we can give.
Here at Living Faith, we have made giving easy by using electronic options as much as possible. You can text to give by texting LFCCNJ to 77977. You can give once or set up as a recurring gift. Just enter in your details, confirm your gift, and you're done. You can give through our LFCCNJ church app. This method will look similar to text to give. The iOS version of the app can be downloaded at the App Store, or you can get the Android version on Google Play. You can also give online at lfccnj.com/giving. If these options are not possible, you can obtain a pink envelope and deposit it as you leave. We thank you again for joining us today. God bless you.
Amen. And so if you have your tithes and offering ready, if you've given online, if you're joining us online, you can give online. Or if you want to mail your tithes and offering to us, you can mail it to 2323 Route 73 in Pennsauken, New Jersey, 08110, Living Faith Christian Center. Amen. Let's all stand and make our confession over our giving. Amen. And let's read in unison. Let's read. We decree that because we are tithers, we receive the promise of the scripture that promises those who tithe and give offering. As a household, we are committed to tithe and give into the Lord's work. Therefore, we claim tithers' rights. That means no devourer, destroyer, waster, or plunger, or pillager can rob from us in Jesus' name. They cannot steal our blessing or fruitful harvest. They cannot steal from our homes, businesses, or from any of our loved ones. The destroyer can't strip away our heritage or harm our children. We stand in the tither's blessing, which promises that the Lord will rebuke the evil one on our behalf. We stand in the tither's blessing, that the Lord will open up heaven's treasure and pour out our blessings we do not have room enough to receive. We stand confident that the tithe is raising a standard against every demonic plot and attack. We have faith that as Jesus, our Lord and eternal high priest, stands in heaven receiving our tithe, we are under covenant of his blessing. We prophesy that the promise to the tither rests upon our families in Jesus' name, according to Malachi 3:11, Hebrews 7:8. Amen. Amen. Doesn't that sound exciting when you think about how God wants to bless us? So I want to encourage you to declare the word of God. Let's reach your hands forward and let's pray over our giving. Father, we thank and praise you, Lord God, for the opportunity to sow seed into your house, God, so that there will be resources, Lord God, to be able to bless and be a blessing to others, God. God, we thank you that in our obedience, Lord God, Lord, you will pour out blessings above and beyond what we could ask or think, Lord God. And Lord God, as a result of that, God, we will be able to continue to give again and again and again, God. I pray, Father God, that no one here, Lord God, would be out a seed, Lord God. Father God, I pray just in their obedience, if they put their hearts right, God, and just step out on faith, God, you will give them the seeds, Lord God, that they need, God. And you can take that 90%, Lord God, when we bring our 10%, God, and you can do so much more with it, God. So we stand and decree, Lord God, that we are blessed. So seed, we tell you to go into this good ground, which is Living Faith Christian Center, and you grow and you bring us back a harvest that's so abundantly rich and full that we won't have room enough to receive it, and we will give out more and more in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good afternoon, family. I'm going to share a few hot topics. Let's start with the video ministry, please.
40 in 40 has begun. 40 days of celebrating 40 years of God's goodness, and you're invited to be part of every moment. We kicked it off the 16th of July, and the momentum kept rolling with an incredible night of worship on the 18th of July with Anthony Brown and group therapy. from now until Sunday, the 24th of August. Join us for a time filled with daily devotional inspiration, which are posted on our social media outlets, dynamic guest speakers every Sunday, powerful music and worship, surprise giveaways, and so much more as we mark 40 years of God's goodness. Today, we were blessed to have Minister Marsha Washington. Our upcoming Sunday speakers include Minister Henry Hall on the 3rd of August, Dr. Mark Barkley on the 10th of August, a day of worship with Minister Merlon Devine and Andrew Walls and band on the 17th of August, and ends with Dr. Helen Trowbridge on the 24th of August. Tickets are now on sale, and you are invited to join us for an unforgettable evening of elegance and celebration. It's the LFCC 40th Anniversary Formal Banquet, Friday the 22nd of August at 7:30. A night filled with laughter, style, and unforgettable memories. The night will feature red carpet photos, a plated hors d'oeuvres hour, formal dinner and dessert, plus a live comedian, dancing, fellowship, and so much more. Dress to impress. Formal to semi-formal attire is encouraged. Get ready for a night to remember. Tickets are just $115 per person. Visit lfccnj.com or scan the QR code to grab your tickets today. Don't miss the celebration of the season. We can't wait to see you there. Don't miss a single moment. Follow along, show up, and celebrate 40 years of God's unstoppable goodness.
Calling all women of virtue, we're delighted to invite you to our monthly small group sessions entitled Cafe Conversations. This is a wonderful opportunity for women 18 and over to come together, connect, and share in a warm, welcoming environment in our cozy cafe lounge. It's the perfect time to build meaningful relationships, inspire each other, and grow together. We can't wait to see you there. Let's make these gatherings something special. For more details, call the church or feel free to reach out to Elder Ida Misher.
Amen. Hallelujah. Please remember to join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for our regularly midweek service online via YouTube. Water baptism is scheduled for Sunday, August 17th, during our 10 a.m. service. If you'd like to be baptized, please complete a form located in the sanctuary foyer. For more details, please contact Sister Rosemary Robinson at 856-661-8110, extension 106. And finally, before you leave today, please stop by the Kingdom Cafe to pick up your complimentary cookies as we joyfully celebrate 40 incredible years of God's goodness. Amen. All right? At this time, please welcome Minister Mike and Minister Kim for a baby dedication.
We're going to call Alan and Kenesha up. And the Alani.
And the godparents, Gregory Nguyen and Bridget Lark.
Have you stand in front of us? Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. Beautiful family. Beautiful baby. Amen. Well, the purpose of baby dedication to the family. Let us hear the word of the Lord as it comes to us in Deuteronomy 6:6-7. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. This is the commandment of God, that we should diligently rear our children in our most holy faith. In obedience to this command, these parents bring their child today to present to them to the Lord. Bring her to present to the Lord. Amen. It's part of being a parent. Amen. The precedent for the ceremony of the baby dedication may be found in the Holy Scripture as a presentation of Samuel by Hannah. Praise God. 1 Samuel 1:28. Yeah. And of Jesus by Joseph and Mary. Luke 2:22. Paul reminded Timothy that from a child thou have known the Holy Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:15. And when Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with his disciples, and he said unto them, let the children come to me, don't stop them. For the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like children. Mark 10:14. The purpose of baby dedication really is to be found in the purpose of the parents. Amen. And the godparents. Rightly understood, the ceremony is one of parental dedication. The parents are pledging themselves to obey the commandment of Paul. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Amen. Rather, bring them up with discipline and instructions that comes from the Lord. Ephesians 6:4. The ceremony is meaningless unless the parents dedicate themselves as well as the children to God.
And so this is my charge, or our charge, to the parents and to the godparents. If it be your intention to present this child, Addison Elani Riddick, to the Lord and to pledge yourselves to bring her up in the nurture and admiration of the Lord, please answer, we do, to the following promises. Do you here this day recognize that this child is a gift of God and give heartfelt thanks for God's blessing? Do you here this day dedicate this child to the Lord? Do you here this day pledge as parents and godparents that you will help bring up this child in the nurture and admiration of the Lord? Do you here this day promise to help give this child every possible benefit of home, school, and church? Do you here this day ask God's blessing upon her life to guide her, to guard her, and direct her through all her years?
Amen. So we're going to anoint the baby. Amen. In prayer. Father, we thank you, dear God, for this family, dear God. We thank you for little Elani, dear God, that you have a purpose and a plan for her, dear God. We thank you, Lord, that she is active, dear God, and alive, dear God, like the Spirit of the Lord, dear God. We thank you that you knew her before she was in her mother's womb, dear God. You called her blessed, dear God. We thank you for the purpose that you have for her, the vision that you have for her, dear God, that she will accomplish it. We pray that she becomes a light, dear God, as she is now, dear God, illuminating, dear God. We pray for the family and the parents and the godparents to help, dear God, corporately, dear God, raise her up, dear God. We thank you, dear God, for her end, dear God, is good and not evil. In Jesus' name, we anoint her in the name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We thank you, dear God, for her, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
So if you turn around and we present Addison Elani Riddick to the congregation, and congregation, take a look at her, because you're also responsible for helping to raise her up. Amen. In love and mercy. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Pastor Connie.
Elani. Praise God. Thank you, Minister Mike. Well, I know y'all enjoyed Minister Marcia today. We still miss you, Minister Marcia. Praise God. She said she was my sister, right? Yeah. it did? Okay, praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. But thank you so much. Thank you to those of you, family and friends, who came out to support her. I know it's really encouraging when you get support, especially when you're preaching. Amen. Because it's not an easy thing to do. But again, we miss you. Thank you so much. It was appropriate that you come help us celebrate 40 years of ministry. Amen. Which are almost 38 years. serving. Amen. Praise God. That's most of those years. Praise God. I want to recognize our first-time visitors. Do we have any first-time visitors? Is your first time in Living Faith? We won't embarrass you. We just want you to stand. Come on, y'all. Give them a hand clap. Give them a hug if you're nearby. Handshake. We just want to say thank you. There's somebody over here. We want to say thank you so much for visiting Living Faith, even if you came just to see Marcia, Mr. Marcia. We still appreciate you coming and fellowshipping with us today. Amen. Come on, y'all, let's give them another hand. Shout real loud, say, welcome to Living Faith. Praise God. Amen. It's good to see everybody. I just want to also give an invitation. If you've been coming to Living Faith and you don't have a church home, it's important that you have a church home, a place where you come and, like Minister Marcia shared, to share your gifts and bless people and to grow and to move in the love of God. And you want to make Living Faith your church home. Is there anybody today? Anybody? Anyone? Anyone? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. Well, as the announcement, the video showed us, we're having our 40th year banquet on August the 22nd. That's a Friday evening. So if, of course, you, Living Faith, I expect to see you there. But if you know somebody who used to go to Living Faith, invite them and let's make it a family reunion. Amen. For 40 years of ministry. So we're looking forward to a night of fun and fellowship. All right. Praise the Lord. Okay. I think that's it. After we close out in prayer, is something happening today? In the cafe. You didn't say. Did they say it?
Yes.
Oh, he did? Okay. So, if you want to gain a couple of pounds, we're giving out some cookies. Kenny raised his hand. I'm in. So we're giving out some cookies today. Just a little something for our 40th celebration. Amen. Praise God. All right, everybody, we're going to stand and close out in prayer. Amen. I want you to turn to 2-3 people. Say, I'm so glad to see you today. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Also, good job. Also, after we close out in prayer, the altar will be open for if anyone is in need of prayer, our elders, ministers will be happy to pray with you. Okay? Well, let's do our usual confession, amen, because it's the truth. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and we praise you. God, we thank you for the word that you shared today through Minister Marcia. God, let it continue to burn in our hearts and that we would get a real revelation about the gifts that you've put in us, the gifts that you have made us. We are gifts from you. Father, we just thank you and we praise you. We thank you for your love that is available to all of us to operate in every part of grace that is upon our lives to serve you, to love you, and to love other people. Father, we do declare and decree in agreement with your word that we are blessed, happy, fortunate, empowered to prosper, and to be envied. If you're in agreement with that, shout word loud, say, I'm blessed. All right, love you. Mwah.